The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much for hanging out with me on this Labor Day weekend. Yes, it's Labor Day, believe it or not. Pools will be open, the lakes will be full, and a lot of football going on. Friday night, the Hoosiers kick off against Illinois, and then on Sunday afternoon, Monroe County Youth Football kicks off. So I just talked to Joe Smith a few minutes ago. He'll be out watching his grandson. So Glasgow, he'll be out there with his son, little Mikey, and of course I'll be out there once again coaching our little Titans. So looking forward to a fantastic Labor Day weekend. We're going to have a great, great show today. Mary Beth Franklin, yes, the famous Mary Beth Franklin, she will be on. She, of course, is the contributing editor of Investment News. She specializes in Social Security, Medicare, and retirement income. She's been a journalist for over 40 years, of course, best known for her time as the editor of Kiplinger Personal Finance and a friend of mine. So she'll be on in just a little bit. So let's do a little news of the week, of course, brought to you by Unrivaled Electric. If they want to be your electrician like they are mine, give them a call at 812-361-3604. Just find them on Facebook. Of course, Lance Like, the longtime contributor to the show and the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And last but not least, I'll see him this weekend, Dirk Bland and Kenny Bland Auctions. They are your full-service auction service. They'll do anything you ask them to do. Sorry, Dirk, for saying that. Offering the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Yes, visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Now, I have some sad news to report. Our good friend Mick Higley, the author of By the Numbers, who is going to come on the show again in about 3 months, is retiring. So he released what he referred to as the final edition, Lessons Learned from Mick Higley. Now, the sad part about this is he was offering By the Numbers up for sale, but could not find anybody he felt worthy to buy it. So I had hooked him up with a couple of people up in Chicago that I thought, you know, might be a good fit. Couldn't get anything worked out, I guess. And here we sit today on the final edition, Lessons Learned from Mick Higley. So you've heard me talk a lot about these things. These all came from his stuff, By the Numbers. So starting next week, I have to have a new gig to give you these little tidbits of the week. So let's start off with what he called his favorite bullet point of all time, where there's 47 between up and down days in the U.S. market over the last 50 years. 53 up, 47 down. That's from 1972 through the end of 2021. And the realization, in spite of the near every other day volatility, the S&P has still generated an average return of 11.1%. My argument to Mick was this. You know what? If I had a plus 30 back when I had 50 bucks, and now I have a minus 30, and now I have $1 million, my personal average return is not 11.1%. You got to keep that in mind, folks, when you're investing. He also said, I'm really not that smart. He said, document in writing your predictions once a year of the direction of the stock market, interest rates, and cryptocurrency. Then a year later, score yourself and evaluate how you did. Repeat every year. It's a very humbling experience, he said. But you'll understand quickly how difficult it is to predict the future. And if you don't write things down and you rely on your memory when scoring your predictions, you're probably just fooling yourself. That's why we have stats in football, because I don't look at my stats from when I was in high school or college. I just remember my stats being really, really good. The other bullet point that had him shaking his head every year is when he updated the comparison of fortunes or misfortunes of two retiring individuals, exactly 9 years apart in age. The first person with $1 million invested 100% in the S&P 500. This was as of January 1st of 1973, who then decided to withdraw an inflation-adjusted $100,000 per year. They would have been completely out of money in 9 years. The very next day, the second person with also $1 million invested in the S&P as of January of 1982, withdrew $100,000 a year plus inflation. After 40 years, had over $7.7 million. That's called sequence risk, folks. That's why we try to teach everyone how to properly take money out of your retirement accounts. It's not that easy. Here's something different. Here's something interesting. I'm probably not going to go through all these. Maybe I'll wrap up the show with a few more. But thinking differently, humans are predisposed to a straight line thinking about their future expectations. So as an example, when the stock market is on a bull run, many people and advisors as well see their good fortunes to continue unabated. Conversely, when the stock market is in a bear or a fall, many, including advisors, can't see the route ever ending. Both assumptions obviously are wrong. But which person will be right? The gloom and doomers? Well, they always sound pretty smart, right? The gloom and doomers always sound smarter than the people who are optimistic, because people don't really like optimism. They like pessimism. That sells. And he said, last thing, or maybe a couple more here, I know five things about a person as far as being an advisor. I can give them advice about investing, but I need the age. I need their age. I need time horizon, risk tolerance, tax bracket, and most importantly, objective. Without those five, I can't help you. I would even throw another one in for me. I like to be a life coach as well. Like, I love when people sit down to me and we're trying to figure out what they're going to do next, you know? Because, I mean, I know your age. That's easy. I can figure out your time horizon depending on whatever life expectancy we have out there. We can determine risk tolerance pretty easily. Tax bracket, that's math. And then objectives, right? What's my objectives? That's really where the coaching comes into play. But what hurts more? That's what he also wrote about. Is now the time to invest? Huh. To decide what's right for you, ask yourself this question. If I go in today and the investment falls 40% in the next 6 months, does that hurt more or hurt less than if I stayed out of the investment today and it goes up by 40% over the next 6 months? Right? That's a really good question to ask yourself. That's why the best time to invest is when you have the money, right? That's the way it is. When's the best time to plant the tree? 40 years ago. When's the next best time? Today. That's the way you have to look at things. Know when to fold them. I love this one. Think about selling early when it's the stock market or real estate or a business versus leaving the party early. Even though there's a chance that the party might continue for hours or years or decades after you're gone, there's also a chance that the police could show up and break up the party pretty quickly. And the last but not least, I'll leave you with this. The presidency is not that important when it comes to our economy, our markets. Warren Buffett was quoted in 2008 saying, "Buy into a business that's doing well, so well that an idiot could run it, because sooner or later there will be one." You could tweak that advice to read, "Buy into the stock market when it's supposed to do well, regardless of the man, woman, or party who occupies the White House. Instead, just worry about sales, revenue." That's all you have to think about. Oh, I'll have to leave you with one more, sorry. Communication, because this relates to my Little League football team. To make your audience, which could be your spouse, your employees, your kids, your players, understand the message that you think you articulated so eloquently, but then ask them to say it back to you. I always say that with my kids. Guys, do you understand this? Now explain it back to me, what I just explained to you. I do that with clients. Hey, can you explain back to me what I just explained to you? Because the best way to learn is to teach. So yeah, I can teach my butt off, but if you're not learning it, it doesn't really matter. But if the kids can repeat back to me, or a client can repeat back to me, this is what, yes, we're doing this because why? I want you to teach me back. Then we all get it, we're all on the same page, and we can move forward. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, hopefully Mary Beth Franklin will be with us. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I promised, and now I'm delivering, Mary Beth Franklin. Of course, she is the contributing editor of Investment News, specializing in Social Security, Medicare, retirement income, and more. She's been a journalist, a financial journalist, for more than 40 years, covering everything from federal budgets to tax policy as a Capitol Hill reporter for the United Press International to consumer finance with her days at Kiplinger Personal Finance. And now she is in demand to be an in-demand speaker at conferences. Mary Beth, you're everywhere. I mean, you're on Consuelo Mack. I mean, I see all these videos that you put out. And during the shutdowns, I mean, you didn't give up, man. You were out there talking the talk and still giving information, which I thought was great. I was trying to do the same thing through videos and others. But how are you these days?
I am doing great. We were just talking off mic about your dad, who at 75 is still working and traveling and do everything he wants to do. I think he's the perfect poster child for phased retirement. I don't think any of us should ever completely stop, but I think we should give ourselves permission to have a little more fun, especially after 2.5 years of lockdown.
Right, no kidding. People ask me, you know, I'm 52, and obviously hopefully still have tons of gas in my tank, but I get asked occasionally, how long are you going to continue to do this? And I'm like, well, when you see the ambulance outside the front door and you see him bringing in a gurney, that's probably the last day that I'll be at the office. So I'm cut from the similar cloth as my dad, and I told you this off air as well, that, you know, in my book, 2025, The Final Drive, you know, What You Need to Know to Win, we talked about, you know, what does a great retirement look like? And if you can travel when you want to travel, relax when you want to relax, and serve when you want to serve, then you've got a great retirement. And Dad and I have had a lot of opportunities to do a lot of things together the last several years and spend time on a lake in Canada or driving in a car 4 hours to somewhere. And, you know, and I'm like, why would you ever retire, Dad? You're still very relevant. He's very well respected. And he gets to do all the three things that it takes to have a great retirement. So it's a great thing. So we appreciate you. We appreciate all the stuff you've done for our world. I mean, I was telling someone before the show that Mary Beth's going to be on today, and I remember having that aha moment at the Ed Slott conference where you were talking about Social Security and all the different ways to maximize it. And I mean, you awed 500 top advisors in the entire country of, oh my gosh, we need to learn more about this. And that was back in the early 2000s, I would say. Of course, a lot of the rules changed since then. But, man, you've written about a lot of topics over the years. But then you kind of became known at that point, I think, more as the Social Security and Medicare expert, and that's what we leaned on you for so much. But you still are going strong today with investment news, and I saw just an article you just wrote on making smart Medicare decisions. But you're writing about other things as well.
Yeah, I try to cover the whole retirement income landscape because the financial services industry is really coming to the awareness that, wow, decumulation or trying to figure out how to take that nest egg that clients have built out over their entire lives and turn it into predictable sources of income that last for the rest of their lives, however long that might be, is really the new challenge for financial advisors. And a lot of this has been theoretical up to this point. And theories worked really well, particularly when we had a decade of a bull stock market and near zero interest rates and low inflation. And wow, now you've got millions of boomers on the verge of retirement, and they're looking at unpredictable stock markets, highest inflation in 40 years, rising interest rates, which wreak havoc with bond portfolios. And people are saying, we might need a new model here. And I think it's a very exciting time to be having these discussions for people who are providing financial planning services, both to individual clients at the retail level and also to retirement plan participants, because a lot of people, that's how they have saved for retirement, is through the retirement plans at work.
Right.
And going forward, I think a lot of those same people are going to be relying on their employer plans for distributions in retirement, something that was really unusual in the past. And we need some better models.
Well, we were at General Motors doing some financial education this week, and the old GM guys and gals still have pensions, and the new ones do not. And we talked about the old version of retirement. You work somewhere forever. You got a pension, Social Security. You didn't really rely on your personal savings too much, and the script has been completely flipped, where obviously no pensions, Social Security, as you've described, kind of on a wobbly stage, and now it's all up to you. So you have to have, like, I think you called it a pogo stick retirement at one point, where it's all
it's
up to you.
We have gone from the old reliable three-legged stool of pension saving, personal savings and Social Security. Pensions history for most people, savings often inadequate,
right.
Social Security having some long-term financing problems, hence going from a three-legged stool to a pogo stick.
You mentioned the market and how we've enjoyed this bull market. Mick Higley, who's the publisher of By the Numbers, he's been publishing this for probably 25 years. I actually helped Mick get his first commercial gig with Midland National Life years ago. But anyway, he's retiring, and he kind of let his final edition go. It's called Lessons Learned. And one of them he talked about was one of his favorite bullet points of all time is the split between up and down days in the U.S. stock market. He said there's been 53 up and 49% down split between up and down days in the market over the last 50 years. And the realization that in spite of that near every other day volatility, the S&P has still generated an average, and this is what I'm going to come back to, of 11.1%. But I was commenting in my news of the week that, you know, I might have had a 30% return back when I had $50 in my account and a negative 30 when I had $1 million in my account. So my average, when you look at real dollars, is much different than the average of the stock market. And when you were talking about the decumulation or the distribution phase, our friend Tom Hegness said it best, averages don't matter anymore. You really have to focus
right.
on other things. So I'll let you describe what some of those other things are.
And one of the big issues there is as you're on the verge of retirement, a lot of thought leaders refer to the retirement red zone as
yeah.
the 5 years before retirement and the 5 years that you're first in retirement, that if you have a down market when you are pulling money out of your nest egg, by definition, you are taking withdrawals from a shrinking nest egg. And if those down markets continue for several years, you can really jeopardize the long-term sustainability of your portfolio. And that's why I've always been a big proponent of having some of your retirement money in guaranteed sources of income, whether it's Social Security, a pension, for some people an annuity. The idea of being able to cover at least your fixed costs in retirement with either guaranteed or predictable sources of income so you can let the rest of your savings grow, or even if it's a down market, knowing you don't have to touch that money right now, really leads to much more successful retirements.
You know, when you say predictable, guaranteed, you know, the difference, folks, is like assurance, like, hey, it's pretty predictable. I kind of pat you on the back. It's going to be okay. Versus insurance, which is the pension, Social Security, and, you know, an annuity. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, more with Mary Beth Franklin, the editor, contributing editor of Investment News Currently. Let's talk about some of the legislation that's out there that's been introduced recently to potentially eliminate taxes on Social Security, but just overall where we are in the legislative mode of fixing this problem, which we know the longer we delay fixing problems, the bigger they are. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Mary Beth Franklin. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes, of course, on Thursday nights at 6, and if you miss it, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and if you're up late for the Indiana-Illinois game that starts at 8 p.m., you'll probably need to catch it on the podcast. So go over to your favorite podcast area and pick up Your Money with David Hayes, and also type in 2025, the final drive, what you need to know to win, and you can pick up that as well. And Mary Beth, you have a podcast, right?
I do. It's called The Retirement Repair Shop. The idea is we talk about challenges to retirement and then come up with some solutions.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually just started listening to that this week, so it's been really good. And it's great because I listen to you, I listen to David McKnight, I'll listen to Ed Slott and Jeff Levine. They're getting ready to start a new podcast as well. And it just sparks ideas, you know, when you hear something, like, oh, yeah, or I never thought about that, and maybe I should talk about that. So it's a good way to get what I would say, we're all preaching from the same book. It's just a matter of how you deliver that message. So you might hear the same thing from me and not get it, and then all of a sudden listen to Mary Beth's podcast. She might be talking about the same topic, but voila, all of a sudden I get it. And we were joking with a listener this week that people might hear something a dozen times but never really sink in until it becomes important to them. Like when you talk about Social Security or Medicare, it's like, yeah, yeah, Medicare. But all of a sudden, I'm 63, 64. I'm like, okay, I need to start paying attention to this Medicare stuff or Social Security.
Oh, it's exactly right that you can hear it over and over again, but until you are ready to hear it, it's just blah, 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 like the old Charlie Brown, you know, penis
wah,
cartoon
wah,
and the
right.
teacher.
Right.
Wah, wah, wah.
I love it.
When you need to hear it, you want to hear it yesterday.
Amen to that. All right, I'm gonna start off with Social Security with this little thing because I have a republished pamphlet from when Social Security was introduced to America back in 1935, and it really comes down to your part of the tax. So it says here, during the next 3 years, beginning January 1st, 1937, you will pay 1 cent for every dollar you earned, and at the same time, your employer will pay 1 cent for every dollar you earned, up to $3,000 a year. And the best part about this paragraph, the very last one, I'll send this to you, it says...
I'd love to see it.
I'll send it to you because the very last line is, this is the most you'll ever pay. And I laugh about that. I'm like, all right, I believe that when I see it. Well, here we are today paying over 15% between your employer, over 12% into Social Security every year as you work. Obviously, trust fund is on the brink. There's a lot of rumors about how we're going to fix this problem. What are you hearing with your connections out of D.C.? And then there's been some new legislation introduced out of Minnesota that could potentially eliminate taxes on Social Security completely. Obviously, most people pay taxes on Social Security. Most do not pay at the state level. But then they would increase how much we pay Social Security taxes on up to like $240,000 a year. So you have any feelers out there about what's going on with Social Security?
Well, there has been one bill introduced called the Social Security 2100 Act and has over 100 sponsors. But guess what? They're all Democrats. So right there, that bill is not going anyplace. You have to have bipartisan buy-in to tackle comprehensive Social Security reform. Everybody knows it, but no one in Washington is in a hurry to do it. Because from the politician's standpoint, they're only giving you bad news. They're saying either we're going to raise your taxes or we're going to cut your benefits or both. Vote for me. They want to delay that conversation as long as possible. But I don't think they give the American public enough credit. We all know how incredibly valuable Social Security is and how popular it is. And most importantly, how older people who benefit from Social Security tend to vote in higher percentages than younger voters.
Mm-hmm.
All those are really important reasons why I firmly believe Congress will step up to the plate and fix the long-term financing problems before we get to the point that Social Security doesn't make a payment. Now, in its 87-year history, Social Security has never missed paying a benefit check. Came real close. Back in 1983, the last time there was major Social Security reform, but Congress stepped in and benefits were never interrupted. I suspect we're going to be on a similar timeline. And let me just explain for your audience that when we talk about the trust fund running dry, that does not mean Social Security is bankrupt. And let's back up for a second. What funds Social Security taxes? It's those pesky federal Insurance Contribution Act taxes, FICA, payroll taxes that we pay every paycheck and our employer also pays.
Mm-hmm.
The combined is 12.4% between employers and employees paying for the Social Security portion. And we pay that FICA tax up to $147,000 of wages this year. That means if you earn up to $147,000, you're being taxed on every dollar you earn. If you earn more of that, whether it's $150,000 or $200,000 or $500,000, you're still taxed only up to $147,000. Those FICA taxes fund Social Security benefits for today's retirees, not our own personal future benefits. It's a pay-as-you-go system. So back in 1983, Congress did some really smart things in that reform bill, one of which was they looked into the future and they said, you know, about 30 years from now, around 2010, baby boomers are going to start retiring and there are going to be a whole lot of them. So why don't we raise more FICA tax revenue than we need and stockpile that extra revenue in something we'll call the trust funds? And in the early days, the concept was this was going to be in a lockbox, meaning Congress couldn't touch that money. Well, unfortunately, they couldn't keep their greedy little hands off it. So Congress, in the form of the federal government, can borrow from the Social Security Trust Funds, but the government pays that money back with interest. So there's three sources of funding for today's Social Security benefits: the actual FICA tax revenue that's collected from our paychecks, the interest that's being paid on the Social Security Trust Fund that's been borrowed by the federal government, and the final piece is the trust fund itself. Well, from 1983 to about 2010, that trust fund kept growing, 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 growing. Today it's worth about $3 trillion. Mm. 2010, two things happened. The first wave of the baby boomers started to retire, and we were recovering from the Great Recession, 2007 to 2009. Lots of people lost their jobs, which meant they weren't paying FICA taxes, and neither were their employers. So for the first time in 2010, FICA taxes alone were not sufficient to pay benefits. So now we started tapping the interest that was paid on the trust fund. Fast forward to last year, 2021, first year that FICA taxes, interest payments alone were not enough to fund benefits. So for the first time, we started tapping the actual trust fund. And we will continue drawing that down that trust fund until it hit zero sometime around 2034. If Congress does nothing between now and when that trust fund is exhausted, there would be enough FICA taxes to pay about 80% of promised Social Security benefits. But nobody is going to be satisfied with 80%. We want the full 100%, which means Congress needs to do something in the next dozen years in the forms of raising more taxes, trimming benefits, changing the benefit formula so that there are sufficient sources of revenue to fund all the promised benefits going forward.
Well, and you mentioned 1983, that's when they came in with delay credits and they came in with the advanced age that you qualify. And at that point, you know, no one that was young cared about that back then. So I talked to our Congressman Senator Todd Young, about 2 weeks ago, just to see what's going on. And he said they're at right now today. He said there's not a big appetite to do serious reform, but he said certainly in the near future, we're going to have to address it. Otherwise, we're going to be in problem. You mentioned the wages, and then we're going to take a quick break. But, you know, so folks, you pay Social Security up to 147. Some would say, well, that only benefits the rich because people that make $1 million don't have to pay Social Security. So you flip it around and say, well, maybe the first $50,000 you don't pay, and then the next $300 you'd pay. Well, then it's like, oh, you're penalizing me for making more money. Or it's kind of like the student loan forgiveness. Like, okay, well, I'm going to forgive your loan, but what about me who paid my loan off? You know, there's this back and forth. So it's not easy for them to politically gyrate and make these things happen. Let's take another quick break. When we come back, more with Mary Beth, and we'll continue on the discussion of Social Security and Medicare. This is Your Money with David Hayes. In the last segment, I mentioned delay credits, you know, where you can receive an 8% credit for every year you delay past full retirement age. Mary Beth, a lot of people, as well, you well know, most people in America still take their benefit at 62 if they're retired and they're eligible. Most people, are taking it close to full retirement age, but still not that many people are delaying all the way to 70. They just can't get over that whole, you know, crossover point. But something I wanted you to comment on, when you have a married couple, you have to think of things differently. When you think about one person delaying 8% a year, plus these massive inflation increases we've experienced and plan to experience, as you wrote about, and you wait to age 70, you could be pulling in 50 to 60 grand a year of inflation-adjusted income, not all taxable under current law, probably not taxable at your state level. And if you fell over dead tomorrow, guess what? Your wife gets to step right into your shoes and take that big benefit off into the sunset. I find that hard for people not to understand, but they just don't understand it until you put it a certain way. So delay credits, right. You're the one that taught us about it.
I absolutely agree with your assessment there. I tell married couples that they need to think of their Social Security claiming decision not as two individual decisions, but as a household decision. And for married couples, you know, there are exceptions, but the traditional married couple tends to have the husband who's a couple years older than the wife and often the bigger breadwinner, which means his Social Security benefit is probably going to be bigger. I urge couples, when it is possible, to have the spouse with the bigger Social Security benefit, in this example, the husband, wait until age 70, if possible, to get the largest possible retirement benefit while both of those couples are alive. And if he dies first, which is actuarially likely, then his wife is going to step up to that much larger benefit, survivor benefit, worth 100% of what he was receiving when he died. And at that point, her smaller benefit goes away. So I tell married couples, when you're making your Social Security claiming decision, your goal should be, how do I maximize the survivor benefit? And the way we do that is by having the spouse with the bigger benefit wait. However, having said that, I do say for a lot of married couples, hedge your bets. Let's say the wife has a benefit of her own, it's maybe not really big, and she's not working. She may want to go ahead and claim her reduced retirement benefit early at 62. Mm-hmm. Or if she's still working, wait until her full retirement age, because there are earnings limits if you claim Social Security before your full retirement age and you continue to work. The value of this split strategy is the wife is getting some Social Security benefits, bringing some cash into the household, and it takes away a bit of the sting of waiting for the husband to collect his maximum benefit. The other value of this split strategy is, even though her benefit, her retirement benefit, is permanently reduced for the rest of her life because she claimed it early, it will have no impact on her survivor benefit if she is at least full retirement age when she is widowed and starts collecting that benefit. So it really is a win-win-win situation for married couples.
See, folks, there's still outstanding claiming strategies to maximize Social Security. You talked about spousal benefits. Let's talk about divorce and death benefits briefly, because the rules, some old rules still apply for people in those situations.
That's correct. Now, divorce spouses, what does it take to become an eligible divorce spouse, meaning you may be able to claim benefits on your ex's earnings record? First of all, you must be married a minimum of 10 years. Think of it this way. There's got to be at least a decade between I do and I don't. If you are a day short, you will get squat. So you've got to be married at least 10 years before divorcing.
So hang in there, girls. Hang in there.
Hang in there, and you must be currently single, meaning maybe you even married someone in between, but that subsequent marriage ended due to death or divorce. You are currently single, and you and your ex are at least 62 years old. Let's say you're not entitled to any Social Security benefit because you haven't worked long enough, but you were married to someone and married for at least 10 years before divorcing who's entitled to Social Security benefit. You can collect just as if you are still married. A spousal benefit is worth up to 50% of my mate or ex-mate's full retirement age benefit if I collect it at my full retirement age. If I collect sooner, as early as age 62, I can still get a spousal benefit, but it's worth less. Now, rules continue. In the case of a currently married couple, if I have no Social Security benefit of my own, I can collect as a spouse, but I have to wait until my working spouse collects his or her benefit. Not the case for a divorced spouse, because you can picture a really ugly divorce and one spouse saying to the other, hey, I am never going to retire and you are never going to see a dime of my Social Security benefits. Well, Congress thought that might be a problem. So among the 2,700 rules that govern your Social Security benefits, there are a lot of exceptions, and a lot of those exceptions apply to divorced spouses. So in this case, in addition to being married at least 10 years, divorced, and currently single, if you have been divorced at least 2 years and you and your ex are both at least 62 years old, you may be able to collect on your ex-spouse's earning record even if your ex has not yet claimed benefits.
Wow.
And there's one other thing to remember for divorced spouses, and here's another exception. Yes, you must be married at least 10 years, divorced, and currently single to collect on a living ex. But guess what? If you remarry at age 60 or later, you can't collect on a living ex, but you may be able to collect on a dead ex, even if you're married to somebody else.
So even if you're just divorced but wish they were dead, what about that scenario?
Yeah, exactly. And here, keep this in mind, spousal benefit while they're alive is worth 50% of the spouse's full retirement age benefit. A survivor benefit when they're dead is worth 100%. So yes, your ex is worth twice as much dead than alive. And you knew that anyway.
Let's take a quick break, come back, wrap up with Mary Beth, and we're going to have her share with you this a lot of information, but where you can find it by following her and buying her guide to Social Security and Medicare. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. But there's more. Because I almost feel like we're on an infomercial, Mary Beth. Like, but there's more. But there's more.
That's right. There's more.
There's always more. So we don't have a lot of time, but if people want to continue to follow you, and they followed you from, you know, the get-go of you graciously agreeing to be part of this program well over a decade ago, 15 years ago or more, how do they follow you? How do they get these guides to Social Security and Medicare that you've written that are easy to follow? How do they get this stuff?
Well, it's real easy now. You go to www.maximizingsocialsecuritybenefits.com. And there you can purchase and download my ebook, which is updated every year. It's current for everything you need to know for 2022. And come next year, I'll be writing a new one for 2023.
And how much does it cost? How much does it cost? Because I'm always like, this is the best bargain in the business if you buy this. Because it used to be like $20 or $25 or $30. I can't remember.
It's $29.95, and I'll tell you, it's worth every cent. A lot of information packed into, believe it or not, only about 50 pages, because I don't think anybody should have to read 300 pages about Social Security benefits. You can read the intro. It will tell you the basics. Then turn to the page that affects you that says married couples, divorced spouses, public employees, families with children, divorces, you know, survivors. You can go right to your situation. And I have several question and answers in there so you can see yourself in the profiles I lay out. I also give some basic introductions to Medicare rules and costs, because for people who are new to retirement, one of their biggest surprises is how much Medicare will cost them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, hey, I turned 65 and I never pay a cent for healthcare anymore. Oh, you will. Wrong.
Yeah, big time, big time. MaximizingSocialSecurityBenefits.com, 50 pages long, under $30 to buy. The first 10, and I rarely do this kind of stuff, Mary Beth, but I think it's so important. The first 10 people that email my office, cfci.us, and just say, I want Social Security Guide, I will buy it for you. I think it's that important. First 10 people, cfci.us, that's it. So it'll probably be after Labor Day weekend we'll find this out. Mary Beth, I can't thank you enough for taking your precious time to be part of the old program. I think we've gotten a little better at this. I've been doing it 20 years now. So you've been part of it for the last 15, I believe. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Hope you and your husband, your family, have a great Labor Day weekend, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thank you, David. Same to you, and thank you for your continued support of my efforts to educate all Americans about their very important Social Security benefits that they have earned and paid for. Make sure you get the most out of them.
Great. Thank you, Mary Beth. Well, let's take a break, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Labor Day weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us for this last hour on a Thursday night. I don't think I'm getting cut off by the Reds tonight, but I might. Sometimes I'll flip on the radio around 6:45 and I'm hearing the Reds coverage. But if I do, it's no big deal. You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 9. Always on WGCLradio.com and, of course, through iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. You want to subscribe and get your alerts that we have a new episode up, whether it's this radio show or the podcast 2025, The Final Drive. What you need to know to win, all that's at your fingertips. And again, maximizing SocialSecurityBenefits.com, 50 pages long, about 30 bucks. I am buying 10 of them, and I will give them all away to whoever emails us at cfci.us and just put in there, send me the Social Security Guide. And we'll do it. And I like, you know, those of you who've been listening to me forever and ever know that occasionally I'll give away something, and it's really just because I want to give it away. It has no underlying, motivation or anything like that. It's simply, hey, we want people to have this in their hands. And not that I don't think you can afford $29.95. I think if you're listening to the show, you care about money, you're tight on taxes, it probably means you got a few bucks in your pocket and you could spend $29.95. But think of this as a gift from me to you personally, CFCI.us. All right, that's about it for today's program. We are going to have a fantastic weekend, right? All of us are. Friday night football, I will be calling the very first play from scrimmage at the Bloomington South, Terre Haute North game. So if you're going to the game, look for me there. That was part of a charity thing that I did. We have Indiana football Friday night with Illinois. We'll be out there tailgating in our normal spot. I know many of you know where I am. You stop by to say hello. And then Saturday, we're just going to have a pool party at my house. You're not invited to that. My wife would be very, very upset. But I'm going to cook a killer brisket, so I'll report on how that all turns out next week. And then Sunday afternoon, I have a Little League football game at 3 o'clock. I believe it's the Bloomington North, so busy weekend. Hopefully Monday will just be a day at the lake or something, out at Lake Lemon or doing something that's incredibly fun. So I hope your weekend is as fun-filled, packed as mine will be. And guess what, folks? You get to hear me again next week on next Thursday night. So have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you then. Have a great one, everyone. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.